going back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. Lord, do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to go with her, she stopped speaking to her. So, let's go on to Ruth 2:1. There was a relative of Naomi's husband, a man of great wealth, and the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Boaz was from the line of David. So, going on. So Ruth, the Moabitess, said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean heads of grain after him in whose sight I may find favor. And she had said to her, go, my daughter. Then she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And she happened to come to a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said to the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered, the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? So the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is a young Moabite woman who came back from Naomi, from the country of Moab. And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. I had a note from ABC that said she was humble and she asked if she could go in among the sheaves and gather, which was a very polite thing to do, but she did not have to. She had the right to just walk in there and do it. Then, so let's go to verse 8. Then Boaz said to Ruth, you will listen, my daughter, will you not? Do not go glean in another field, nor from here, but stay close to my young women. Let your eyes be on the field which they reap. Go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So I'm going to stop there. But go on over here and say a little bit about Boaz. Boaz, that man of great wealth, is a hard man not to respect. He knows how to deal with the spiritual and the heavenly, and he puts them first. But he is a wise and knowledgeable manager of the earthly also. He lived the life of a scripture that wouldn't be spoken by Jesus until more than 1,000 years later. That scripture is Mark 12:29-31. Mark 12:29-31. Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second, like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There are no other commandments greater than these. So once again, here's my SPS. Now is your chance of a lifetime to hedge into actual wealth, silver. What is a hedge? A hedge is to limit or qualify something by conditions or expectations. Put simply, hedging is a strategy that tries to limit risk to the total of your financial assets. But another way, if something goes very wrong with your lifetime, financial, savings, airplane, a hedge can make the difference between a fiery crash and a hard landing. A hedge can be as little as 10% of your total financial assets. Sometimes in the world of finance, the word contrarian comes up in the conversation. Let me give you a definition or two. Contrarian, a person who opposes or rejects popular opinion, or a person who takes an opposing view, especially one who rejects the majority opinion. Let me have a show of hands. How many of you in some part of your life consider yourself to be a contrarian? Okay. I hope that today I can inspire you to add on one more contrarian part to your life, a part that could bring to you actual wealth. As called out ones, first fruits, I dare say we are contrarians. But what is money? Money is any object that is generally accepted as payment of goods and services and repayment of debts in a given country or socioeconomic context. What is its function? It is distinguished as a medium of exchange, a unit of account, a store of value. A store of value. Caution. We can be easily fooled by what we call actual wealth. Example, in your golden years, you sit secure in your home, you look out over your land, and you owe money to no one. Warning, if you fail to pay your property taxes, sooner or later the sheriff will come, seal up your home, and escort you off of your property, and it will soon belong to someone else. How secure is that kind of wealth? Well, getting to gold and silver, the gold to silver price ratio right now is about 82 to 1. 1 troy ounce of gold today buys you about 82 troy ounces of silver. The next two sentences of information are from Kinesis Money Blog. Since ancient Rome, about 8 ounces of silver have been mined for every ounce of gold annually. However, due to government intervention over the centuries, the gold-silver ratio has been set at about 15 to 1. Monday, we could probably buy a 1 ounce gold bullion coin. This is a 1 ounce gold bullion coin for about $2,100. If the gold-silver ratio was now, today, at the centuries-old average of 15 to 1, a silver 1 ounce bullion coin, like this one, just bullion, 1 ounce, 999 silver, would cost about $140. One of my favorite bullion companies would have sold to you yesterday 1 to 1,000 or even more if you wanted them of this 999 bullion for about $26.24. Well, here is the icing on the cake. When it comes to gold and silver that you own, you don't have to store it in your home. As safe a place as any, you can store your silver at a trusted storage facility, and that is connected with your trusted silver dealer at a reasonable fee. Having never touched your silver, and it will be in a particular spot, and it will be your silver, you decide that you need a little money, you sell some of your silver back and to the dealer, and the dollars come to you. Or you can exchange your silver for other metals, you know, like gold. Or you can have your silver sent to your home. Or you can pick up your silver yourself at the storage place. Question. Is now the time for you to hedge into some actual wealth? There is something that I say a lot. I say it almost every day. and it will probably be on my gravestone. Timing is everything, almost. I want to tell you something. If you go to the right places on YouTube, it won't take you long before you know more about gold and silver, about banks in trouble, about nations in trouble, economies in trouble, cities in trouble, American dollars in trouble. However, I can streamline your search with the many hours that I've already spent. I have a handout. Some of them are out there in the hall. Some of them are back at my table. And if any of you want the handout, just pick it up. It's good information. It's all from YouTube. It's sources of information. I would like to finish with some YouTube quotes and then three scriptures. So finish with some quotes and then three scriptures. This is all from YouTube. Jim Rickards, that's R-I-C-K-A-R-D-S, Jim Rickards, renowned economist, 10 hours ago, put something out on YouTube. I've kept quiet about these horrible things. That was the title. And here's Jim Rickards a few days ago. I'm exposing this no matter what. What is he exposing? That the rest of the countries around the world are quietly loading up on as much gold as they can right now, probably silver too. Andy Schechtman, that's S-C-H-E-C-T-M-A-N, Andy Schechtman, 2 days ago, insane panic buying into gold and silver in 2024. Tens of millions of people will want to buy. And Andy Schechtman 1 day ago, this is huge. Upcoming events will change gold and silver prices forever. This was from Lynette Zong. That's Z-A-N-G. Lynette Zong. Mind-blowing. A massive silver price tsunami is coming. And then this is also from Lynette Zong. Why your cash will be harder to access from the banks in 2024. Harder to get out. And then Lena Petrova, that's Lena, L-E-N-A-P-E-T-R-O-V-A, Petrova, she's a CPA. I really like what she puts out. Gold buying spree. Record 800 tons, that's T-O-N-N-E-S, of gold bought by central banks amid push to diversify. So that's just a sampling of what you might find on my handout. But I've got one more. Last but not least. And that's Robert T. Kiyosaki. I don't know if you've ever heard of Rich Dad, Poor Dad. It was a number one New York Times bestseller. And he had a video on YouTube. And in part of the video, he kept it very simple. He picked up a gold coin like this one, and he said, "This is wealth." Then he picked up a silver coin like this one, and he said, "This is wealth." Then he picked up a handful of cash. I'm holding a handful of cash. And he said, "This is toilet paper." And this is toilet paper, $100 bills, toilet paper. If the American people and our officials who are in Washington keep going the way they're going, this might be an idea for the future of our dollar. like to finish with three scriptures. I'd like to hang on to this gold coin real tight. So, three scriptures. Let's see if I find my three scriptures sheet. Oh, yeah, it's over here. Proverbs 22:7. Proverbs 22:7 states, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." I have to think of our country every time I read this one. Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. "Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing as there is not room enough to receive it." Proverbs 13:22. "A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children." So one last time. Now is your chance of a lifetime to hedge into actual wealth, physical silver.
Thank you, Mr. Harris. Actually, I was kind of hoping you'd forget your props, but all right, brethren, please take our hymnals and turn to number 57, Holy Mighty Majesty, for our next hymn, after which we'll have the announcements today made by one of our elders, Mr. Dave Hempsley. Number 57. That may be the one that's only piano only. Is it not on the... I think that's only in the piano. One of those I know is not with where the choir's with them. It might be this one. I'm not sure.
Zion is most great.
great. He is King and He maintains the right. He restoreth equity. Worship and exalt the Eternal One, Holy Mighty Majesty. Thank you, brethren, and looking for Mr. Hemsley for the announcements, I think. Okay. There he is. Okay. Can't be worried there. Okay, Mr. Dave Hemsley.
Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon. It's one of those things, when you gotta, you gotta. Sorry. I hope you all had a good week. I know that I'm glad to see the warmer weather. That cold weather is not my gig. So I only have a few announcements here today, but it's good to see you all. I got Mr. Harris to go with me visiting this past week, so that was kind of nice to have somebody with me. And we stopped by and saw Richard McLean. And he was in a lot of pain. This was on Thursday. And, you know, he had his gallbladder out. Well, couldn't understand why he was having so much pain. Well, we just found out his wife, or his daughter-in-law, just told us that Richard has a bleeding from where they took the gallbladder out. And he's in a lot of pain. And they're trying to stop the bleeding with some medicine. And then, because of what's happened, they've had to put him on dialysis temporarily. So please keep Richard in your prayers. In fact, keep the whole McLean family in your prayers. They've been going through quite a bit here the last 6 months, and also really for about the last 4 or 5 years between Richard and Barb and Ted and Teddy. So please keep them in your prayers. We also stopped by and saw Beth Williams, and she's doing pretty good. She's just having some problems, and she didn't come to church for a week or so. So we stopped by and saw her for a little bit. And then we stopped by and saw our friend up in that London area also, and that was Joe Hanley. So we had a good time with him also. But anyhow, we just had a good time, and it's good to have someone to go with me. So you can go out and see people and see some of the widows and people like that that you can't go see by yourself normally. It's not a good thing. So anyhow, we had a good week. I hope you realize we do have a Bible study next week. And Ron sent out what it's going to be on last night, I believe it was, you said, Ron. So please look that over so we'll be ready for the Bible study next week at 11 o'clock. Besides that, I don't have anything else to say, except I hope you all who are able to are going to be able to go down to Cincinnati here in a couple weeks for the weekend down there. It's really quite a thing. Even if you can just get down for Saturday, it's really quite a thing. Are we going to have anything here, Ron? I never asked.
I don't know yet.
No, no. Okay. All right. Well, we'll let them know next week then.
Yeah.
Okay. I just thought I'd ask, see what was, so I didn't know if there's anything scheduled yet or not. So, all right. We'll have one more song by Nicholas Nick, and then we'll have a sermon, the other split sermon, by our pastor, Ron Barker.
Thank you, Mr. Hemsley. You might want to note, if they do the service, it's going to be at 2:30 instead of, you know, what is it, normally 1:30 down there? Anyway, it's going to be at 2:30. Of course, we'll know more. Mr. Barker, let us know more next Sabbath what's going on. Okay, brethren, for the next hymn, we will have number 147, Great is Thy Faithfulness, and then for the second split, our pastor, Mr. Ron Barker. Number 147, please all rise. About a minute. Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadow of turning with Thee. Thou changest not Thy compassions, they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Thank you, brother. And now again, our pastor, Mr. Ron Barker.
Mr. Keller's just told me to break a leg. I don't know if he was hoping I'd do that on the way up or. Welcome, everybody. It's good to see everyone. We have a big empty spot back there. When the DeBrys aren't here, we lose about 10% of our. And that number grows, it seems, every year. When I start a phrase, blessings and what comes to mind? You guys are negative. We're not going to talk about curses today. If you've been following along with the one-year chronological Bible that we ordered earlier this year, you know that this week we got into the book of Ephesians. Actually made it through the book of Ephesians. And Paul's letter to the Ephesians divides neatly into two sections. The first section describes the spiritual blessings that are given to those whom God has called. As you go through there, he just keeps repeating and reiterating blessings that we've received. The second section outlines what God expects from us in light of all he has done for us. So we will call these blessings and responsibilities of the believer. We're going to look into some of the responsibilities given to us. Let's go back and look at the introduction into these two sections. Go back to Ephesians 1 and verse 1. We'll start there as he introduces the blessings section of his letter here to the Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and in verse 1, we read, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, and that includes all of us. This letter was written to the church throughout time. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. So Paul's introduction begins by telling us that we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Now, he doesn't talk about earthly blessings. The message that he's bringing here is not health and wealth. There are for sure blessings of health and wealth if we live our lives according to the way God tells us to, because God's way leads to success. But we're not assured great riches in this life. We're not assured great health in this life. But we have become the recipients of much more than that. That is spiritual blessings. Later in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul transitions into the responsibilities that we have as Christians since we receive such great blessings. Turn over to Ephesians 4. We'll read just the heading of that second section of his letter. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 1. Actually, we'll just read verse 1 at the moment. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. Now, as I said, he just goes into this long list of blessings, and I'm certainly not going to cover them all today. But then he transitions into responsibilities that we have as those who are called out. So we're going to look at some of the blessings we've received and couple them up with some responsibilities that go along with those blessings. This is not going to be an in-depth look, and the time that I have is probably just going to spend a minute or two on each one, so we'll be back and forth a little bit, because I'm going to do it in the time slot of a split sermon. But hopefully it's enough to get you to go back and read through this book again, because this is a very good book for us. A lot of encouragement in there, and a lot of explanation of what it is that's expected from us. So the first blessing that we're going to look at is in Ephesians 1 and verse 4. So we're going to be going back and forth a little bit here, but we're going to stay in the book of Ephesians. So Ephesians 1, verse 4. The first blessing we're going to look at is that God has chosen us. Ephesians 1, verse 4, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. We have, each one of us, been chosen by God. And Paul makes it clear here that this was a part of God's plan from even before the foundations of the world. God was going to call a special group of people. And at some point in your life, God determined you are going to be a part of that group. You are going to be called out of this world, and you are going to have this calling. Now, this blessing comes with a responsibility, of course. So if we'll turn back to Ephesians 4, we'll pick up in verse 2. Ephesians 4, we'll start out in verse 2. We'll be reading down through verse 6. We read, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called, in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. That is our responsibility in our calling. We are responsible to keep unity of the Spirit. How do we do that? By bearing with one another in love. That's how we keep unity. We should not be causing or adding to any divisions within the body of Christ. As you can imagine, God does not look very favorably on anyone who causes divisions within the body. In fact, there should be no divisions within the body of Christ. As we just read, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all. The last time there was division within the heavenly host, the divider was thrown out. So we should be careful not to be causing any kinds of division within the body. The next blessing we're going to look at is to realize the depth of the calling that we've been blessed with. Ephesians 1 and verse 5. Let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, in this time, we will read verse 5. Having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will. We are not just called out to come together as a group once a week and that's it. Our predestination is that we are adopted into God's family. We are a part of God's family. We're to become full family members of God's family. We're a congregation of family members. So what kind of responsibility comes with that? Let's go back to Ephesians 4. This time we'll pick up starting in verse 7. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 7, we'll read down through verse 13. But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who ascended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That is our responsibility. We're to use our abilities and talents for the benefit of the church, of the body, of the family. We're to help the church grow. We're told that we are to continue using our talents until we come to the unity of faith. So part of that responsibility is to work on unity and the knowledge of the Son of God. We are all called to be teachers. We are all called to help each other out. See, we're all going to be examples. You don't get to decide that. What you get to decide is, are you going to be a good example or are you going to be a bad example? And we can learn from both, but you're only going to benefit from being one. So let's go back now to Ephesians 1 and look at another blessing that we have bestowed upon us. Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Ephesians 1 verse 6. to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We have acceptance before God. God knows our past. God knows our weaknesses. But by his grace, he has accepted us. He realizes who we are. He doesn't look at what we've done in our past by our own means. He looks at the potential that he sees in us, of what we can become. So the fact that God accepted us doesn't mean that we just stay where we are with the attitude of, well, God accepted me. This is just who I am. No, we don't get to stay where we are. Because that acceptance is the starting point. And there is a responsibility that comes along with that acceptance. Let's turn back to Ephesians 4. This time we'll start in verse 14. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 14, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. We don't get to stay where we are when God calls us. We have to keep moving. We have to keep growing and maturing. God didn't call us to remain where we were. He didn't call us because we were close enough. He called us because we have potential. And he knows that with his help, we can reach the potential. Therefore, it's our responsibility to keep learning God's way and implementing it into our lives. It's not enough just to know it. You've got to use it. We must continue to grow and to mature. That is what we have been called to do. Being a Christian is a lifelong event of learning and growing and teaching and helping and loving. All right, let's go back and see another blessing that we have had bestowed upon us. Ephesians 1, starting in verse 7. Ephesians 1, verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. We have something that only God can give us at the level that can give us eternal life. And that is forgiveness of sins. And we never need to take that lightly. We always need to remember that there is a very high price put on the forgiveness of sins. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we've been given access to that forgiveness. Jesus Christ willingly paid the price for our sins. Now that means we have to move forward not sinning. We don't just continue in sins, because that forgiveness comes with a responsibility. Let's turn back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, starting in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. We are to be different. Having their understanding darkened, our understanding has been lightened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. We need to put away our old sinful ways. Part of our forgiveness is that we repented. And repented means we've moved on. We've changed. We've gone a different path. We've seen the error of our ways and we stopped doing them. We need to walk as that new person that was created when we were baptized. At that moment, we became a new creature. We need to keep off the old man. When things start creeping up, we need to realize, oh no, I'm going back into my old self before God called me and worked with me, before I was baptized. We need to put those things off and keep moving forward. We should be renewing our life constantly. Going on, we're given specific instructions of putting away the old man. Let's drop down here in Ephesians 4. We'll be picking up in verse 25. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. We have to have that balance. We have to have God's wisdom. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. This is a list that will help keep sin out of our lives if we follow those instructions. That's the responsibilities that come along with having our sins forgiven. The forgiveness that we were granted demands that we live a different life moving forward. All right, let's go back to chapter 1 and look at another spiritual blessing. Ephesians 1 and verse 9. Ephesians 1 and verse 9, having made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. We have been given insight into God's will. God has opened our minds to be able to have some understanding of what his will is. Most of the world is blinded. Some of the world willingly are letting themselves be blinded. But Satan has blinded just about everybody, and we were blinded at one time. But God removed that blindness from us. And now we have an understanding of God's will, not just for us, but for the whole world. His whole plan has been laid out. He gives us an understanding of what his will is for mankind in general, but us personally. We realize it is an individual thing that God is doing. He guides us and teaches us by his Holy Spirit. He lights our path. He shows us the way to go, how to live our lives. So if we're given that insight, what kind of responsibility comes along with that? Let's go back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, and we'll read verse 30. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. It is our responsibility not to grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit should never be pushed away, ignored, or rejected. When God gives us an answer, we are to abide by it. We don't always get the answer we want, do we? We don't always see what we want to see. We don't always realize that what we're asking for is not what's best for us. But God shows us a way. He lights a path. And if He lights a path, we're to walk down that path. We're to follow where God takes us. We must not grieve the Holy Spirit by letting our own thinking and desires override the wisdom that is given to us by the Holy Spirit. If we remember that God, through His Holy Spirit, is living in each one of us, we would be much more selective of what we think, of what we read, of what we watch, of what we say, and of what we do. How many times do we call to mind that we are the temple of the Lord, that the Holy Spirit is living in us? Where are we taking God? What are we showing God? What are we doing? Ephesians 5 verse 10 tells us to find out what is acceptable to God. That is part of our duty, to find out what is acceptable to God and then live our lives according to that. We need to be aware that God is with us at all times. And that is a blessing. It is a blessing that God is with us. The last blessing I want to look at today is found in Ephesians 2 and verse 19. Ephesians 2 and verse 19, and we'll be reading through verse 22. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. We have what Paul refers to in several places as heavenly citizenship. We are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Jesus said this was not His world. If it was, they would stand up and fight. This is not our world. We live in it, but we're not of this world. Our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is with God, and He has made His dwelling place with us. Our responsibility for this is in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. So if our citizenship is in heaven, if our citizenship is with God, what responsibility comes with that? Because we represent the God family. Ephesians 5, verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. And how do we do that? We listen to the Holy Spirit, not our own understanding, not our own desires, but we walk the way that God tells us to walk. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. To walk circumspectly is to walk in such a way as to avoid contact with undesirable influences. Where do we put ourselves? Who are we hanging out with? What situations are we putting ourselves in? Redeeming the time means to use as much time as possible for advancing Christ's purpose in this world, especially in our lives. Are we doing that? Are we advancing Christ's purpose in our lives on a daily basis? Are we redeeming the time? Redeeming the time that we have? We should be making the most of our time trying to become as much like the example set by Jesus Christ as is possible. The book of Ephesians contains many more blessings that we should be aware of. I would suggest that if you did go through it this week, that you go back and read it again from the viewpoint of where does Paul point out blessings. It also contains many responsibilities that we are responsible for as Christians. Again, I would encourage you to go back and look for those responsibilities, to evaluate yourself, to see, are you living up to those responsibilities? Hopefully you are inspired to look back just a little bit more, see the blessings that come along with being a child of God, and also to live up to the responsibilities that come with that calling.
Thank you, Mr. Barker. Just a reminder to you folks at home, and we will be having the Zoom afterwards, and would like to encourage some of you folks that don't normally get on Zoom. I know you're home. I'm sorry, sir? Okay. Well, I'm sorry. I'm not even talking to the camera anymore. Okay. Thank you. Sorry about the Zoom, folks. Anyway, we hope that those who are ill and continue to be ill, please come in, and hopefully you'll be with us next Sabbath. We look forward to that. Okay, brethren, for the final hymn, we'll turn into number 152. As we were told by Mr. Barker, that is one of our responsibilities, to go into the world and, by our own personal example, wherever we live, number 152, after which be led in the closing prayer by one of our elders, also a retired pastor from Nashville. And you served how many churches? Four or five? In that area. No. Just in that area. Nashville. Five churches. So, very busy man. We're sure glad to have him here. All right, brethren, number 152, Go Into the World. Go into the world and preach to every nation. Teach all people to obey what he has commanded. Baptize his disciples, they shall be God's sons, and so he shall be with us forever to the end. Go into the world and live by his example. You shall be a light to all, like a sparkling city. Grow as his disciples, you shall be God's sons, and so he shall be with us forever to the end. Go into the world and be a faithful witness. Strive to live by every word till we are perfected. God will give his Spirit. We shall be God's sons, and so he shall be with us forever to the end. Thank you, brethren. Now, Mr. Kellers.
Father in heaven, how wonderful it is to be called. How wonderful it is to have all these gifts and then the wonderful responsibilities. So we appreciate what we have received today from you, and we thank you that we're a family, that we're all here together as brothers and sisters. What a wonderful gift. You brought us here safely. Please take us home safely. Thank you so much for your love through Jesus Christ, and we thank you in his name. Amen.